Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Curious Ulsterman podcast, the podcast designed to equip you with the tools and wisdom you need to thrive as an adult. I am your host, Johnny, aka the Curious Ulsterman, and today I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Nathan, aka the Jolly Viking. Today's episode will be focusing on courage, which is part four of the five-part series, Coming Into Your Own. In today's episode, Nathan and I discuss the three actionable steps you can take to build courage and to sustain it in the long run. Without further delay, folks, here is today's episode on courage. Hello, Nathan. Welcome back, brother.
Hello, Johnny. It's, as ever, always lovely to be here.
Indeed. And we're now on part four of our five-part series on coming into your own. And yeah, Today's topic is courage, which will have a lot of overlap between our last episode, obviously, with confidence. I wanted to first off settle the difference between the two, and we discussed this before in previous episodes, and I'm sure if even further back in the podcast, but I feel from my own perspective that if we're going to separate confidence and courage into two distinctly different camps or trails of thought, I feel like confidence is something you use daily. That is a daily skill that you have to harness and you have to hone and you have to utilize to achieve your goals. But I feel like courage is where you take those giant strides in the direction you want to go. And I feel like that's the, you know, when the hands are shaking, the legs are shaking, the heart is pumping, but you charge on through a particular fear you have to achieve whatever it is that's in front of you, whatever the obstacle is. And something I would like to explore within this episode is the different types of courage, just so that we can involve as many people in the audience as possible. You know, there's moral courage, physical courage, mental courage, and so on and so forth. But that's just my sort of hot take on the subject. What's yours?
Yeah, it's interesting. Whilst I was thinking about this subject before we came to it, I mean, it's a very obvious quote and very easy to, I think it's probably like one that probably everybody's heard, but it's Nelson Mandela's quote, which is, you know, courage isn't the absence of fear, but the triumph over it.
Oh, that's strong. I like that.
I mean, that's what he was Nelson Mandela for, you know, you know, those kind of amazing quotes. And it's kind of, you know, it's, I think, and that sums it up, is, you know, his courage is kind of seeing the world or seeing your situation for what it is, but still rising up and, you know, achieving, overcoming, rather than looking at the situation around you and moaning that everything's not fair.
100%. Well said. Oh, I have a quote of my own, actually, which I believe summarizes courage, and it's from one of my favorite scientists and people of all time, Marie Curie. And the famous quote is that nothing in life is to be feared, it is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less. Which that was always struck a chord with me, because this harks back to our previous episode where I was, when we were talking about confidence, and it was how do you build it. And I mentioned the two methods I use, you know, either don't think about it, just charge on through, or, you know, rationalize it, really think about it. And I believe this speaks to the latter. So if it's going to take you all the courage in you to do whatever you need to do to improve your life or those around you, to do the right thing rather than what is, you know, expedient or popular, then to really, really rationalize the thought, to really look it in the face and analyze it and go, this is still scary, but now I know exactly what I'm dealing with. You know, it's not a surprise. It's just finding that courage, whether that be the physical, mental, moral, whatever it needs to be, to push on through. And I feel like it also takes away the weight of the fear in a big way. I feel like once you understand it and you rationalize it with your brain and your morals and your values, it's not going to make it completely defunct of fear, but I feel like it suddenly makes it a whole lot less scary. It's not this vague monster. It's a task that can be overcome with logical steps and just a little bit of, you know, setting aside the ego or setting aside whatever arbitrary fears you have. Perhaps you've harbored these fears for a long time. Yeah. And it's going to, and you've done the work. You've got consistent confidence now, but you need that big final push of courage to really make the breakthrough that you need. Mm. That's how I feel that quote summarizes the whole idea of courage, to understand what you're dealing with and then tackle it head on. I feel is what that's all about. And yeah. I said I was going to reference this quote as well. In the previous episode, the one from We Bought a Zoo, you know, 20 seconds of insane, embarrassing courage, you know, and it'll make it all worth it. And
yeah.
I'm sure we can come up with a few examples throughout the episode of when we've taken the biggest strides in our lives. It has always been those handshaking, knee shaking, heart thumping, stomach fell out of your ass, 20 seconds of, you know, living in that fight or flight response, and it's all up in the air, and then it's over and done with, and then you go, wow, I did that, you know. Or as it is the case most of the time, wow, was that it? Was I really afraid of that?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think from what you're saying, and you know, feel free to correct me, I think what we're saying is that courage is confidence in action.
Oh, that's exactly what I was saying, but I didn't have the words to put that through. That's going to be a soundbite for the episode.
Yeah. So I think that we, you know, like it's one thing to, you can be confident stood still.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but putting one foot in front of the other in that confidence requires courage.
Yes.
You know, and I suppose it's kind of it, like, again, harkening back to the description or example you gave last time we were chatting about these things, last time we got together, it's kind of, you know, starting off with the small bosses and working your way up, you know, to use that nerdy analogy of playing games. But, you know, if you go straight in as a level one noob, and try and tackle the level 100 boss, you're going to get your butt whooped. But you know, if you take on the level one, then the level two, and build up, you know, and all the time courage moving forward, then you know you're going to be doing those things. Aren't you? You're going to achieve and get better. And like you say, it's the practice of these things, not just the resting on your laurels of these things. And I think you're right to acknowledge that there are different types of courage, you know, and you know you might be very morally courageous, but physically be less courageous, or you know, there's and again, you know, you might excel in one thing and someone else, you know, will excel in something in another realm or aspect of this topic. So I think when we're looking at pressing on a move, I like what you say there, that it's kind of like courage is kind of like the kinetic explosion of confidence. And it is that, you know, that 20 seconds of crazy and, or whatever, you know, that, you know, I suppose the first set of astronauts going up into space.
Oh, yeah.
All the courage had probably already happened. It was too late to think about courage when you sat in that thing and it's going up. Yeah. You know, you're actually past courage. But all the training and all the preparation and everything, and then, you know, climbing that ladder, that was probably where the courage was, climbing the ladder to go into the
100%.
Into the module. Because once you're in the module, it's too late then, isn't it, really? Yeah. You know, the big bang stick is going to go and you're going to go up, you know. But the, you know, with the courage to walk down, to make that walk and climb that ladder, you know, you could have all the confidence in the world, but you've still got to go and do it.
I like it.
I think what we're trying to say here is that whether it is like moral courage or mental courage or physical courage, that actually, like, it's courage isn't, it's not like courage isn't the man in the pub, to use a very British analogy, who sits and complains about everything.
Mm.
Courage is the person who goes out and starts changing the things that they were complaining about.
I like that very much. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, everybody knows that person, that kind of, you know, workplace lawyer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? the person who thinks they know, you know, they've got the answers, they know everything, they understand it all. But all they are is just a bag of hot air. Whereas actually, like, you know, the courageous person is the person who's going out and changing.
Yeah.
Whether it's changing themselves or changing things around them, you know.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, that is rubber meeting road territory, isn't it? You know.
100%. Gotta say as well, just a compliment to yourself. I'm loving how articulate you are these days. Oh, you've always been very good at describing things, but like, just, I really liked what you said there about, you know, that it's that kinetic explosion of confidence. And I was like, oh, I like that. I don't know why. It's just so, it was very well articulated. So I just thought I'd say that.
The topics you're picking are forcing me to up my game. So thank you. Thank you for the compliment.
But I feel like, this is just in my own head, what I was thinking there was that I feel confidence is exactly as you say. Confidence, you can be confident standing still, but you need the courage to take that step forward. But I also feel that confidence could probably get you 90% of the way there. And then courage is that final jump of 10%. Like if you've been 1% every day and then it's that, you know, 10% jump of scary. Sure. Oh my gosh. Like for example, starting this podcast, it took confidence in a weird way to buy all the equipment. That was easy. Oh yeah, I'm going to start a podcast. It's confident. Yeah. Amazon, there you go. I'm feeling confident, all excited. And then the first time you sit in front of a mic and you do it,
yeah,
like, oh my, I'm literally sweating buckets here. And then the even more bigger jump of courage for me was the first time I pressed share on a finished sure. post, and suddenly it's out on the internet. Your friends can see it, your family can see it, your work colleagues can see it, and you are opening yourself up to both praise and ridicule.
Yeah.
And it's like that for me was a big personal courageous jump, because
yeah.
suddenly it's so easy to just sit down and keep your head down and not, you know, be the object of someone's ridicule or praise, even though we would probably like to be praised more as individuals, you know, for our efforts. It's so much easier just to keep your head down, because we don't want 9 compliments and then 1 really bad bit of critique, because that'll just fret.
I mean, to be the gray man is the easiest thing in the world, isn't it? Just to blend in, not stand out for any reason.
Yeah.
You know, to receive no compliments or criticisms, that's easy. Just move quietly through life. And again, that might suit someone's personality type, and I don't want to belittle anyone who's doing.
No, yeah.
But actually, like, you know, when you're saying that kind of, whether it's, you know, launching a podcast or putting yourself through for a job interview, you know, there's a certain amount of confidence in filling out a job application form that you're selling yourself as someone who is able and worthy of the job that's been offered. And then in the interview, then there's a bit of courage, because you're actually now face to face with a person. You've got to make sure that the stuff you've written about yourself now matches to the person who's in front of the interviewer. You know, and that's courage, isn't it? It's that, you know, married with confidence to sell yourself in that way, in a good way, to promote yourself. Or whether it's, you know, in a group dynamic and, you know, a friend has come out with And I'm not into the cancel culture stuff, but, you know, someone has said something that is blatantly racist or homophobic or any of the other icks that are out there. You know, they've said something and everyone else laughs, but you know that that's not correct. So you take the moral courage to say, actually, I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's right. And it may be that there's no one there who could be offended by what was said.
Yeah.
Like that you're all kind of, you know, you're all kind of safe in your little group or whatever. But actually, like, you know, there's a certain amount of, you know, you talk about moral courage to do that, because what's just being said and what's being laughed at or whatever doesn't sit with your character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it takes courage to do that, because there you are opening yourself up to ridicule in a way that is very different.
Yeah. But even, you know, like, it's having that courage to pull someone aside and not embarrass him in front of everybody, but just to pull him aside and say, look, I wasn't totally comfortable with what you said there. Even if it was meant in jest, it kind of struck a nerve a little bit. And yeah, you're 100% right. You know, acting upon whatever courage, facet of courage it is that you need to work on. I feel like as well that it takes a lot of courage to work on yourself. It takes courage to do acts, but I feel like it takes courage to work on yourself. So for example, one that comes off the top of my head would be, especially for blokes, having the mental and spiritual courage probably to go and seek help from a mental health specialist.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, because since we have climbed down from the trees and walked upright, you know, blokes have needed to be these strong, rugged individuals for the tribe to do this, to do that. And I feel that maybe it was easier in caveman days. Maybe they did sit around the campfire talking about, you know, today was a stressful day or feelings or whatever. Who knows? Because they weren't in the habit of writing things down. Maybe the Vikings were actually pretty open and saying, yeah, I'm struggling, guys. Who knows? And somewhere along the way, we lost that ability. But the fact that someone can accept, actually, I'm only human, and it's not a case of if, but when you're going to have a mental health phase, whether that be depression, anxiety, or whatever. Mm. And the fact that you can say to yourself, I owe it to myself and my family and friends to look after myself and to seek the help. Yeah, to get it fixed, to seek the help of a professional. You know, I'm sure this analogy is a little overused nowadays in the realm of mental health, but, you know, people would think you were an absolute looney tune if you went around with a broken arm going, oh, it's fine, it's fine. It's like, well, clearly it's not. You need to get that mended. But for some reason, as soon as it comes to mental health, it's completely different. I think because it takes courage to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's this fake, this isn't to judge lots of people, but I feel like there's a fakeness in the modern society to have this picture perfect, Instagram worthy life. And any sign of weakness, any sign of it's not going perfectly to plan is a sign of failure somehow. Because it all falls into the comparison trap that if you're not living in Dubai with an Instagram life, you've done something wrong. And it's like, no, that's just, it's ridiculous. And there again, there's the many types, but that's the one off the top of my head. I think a lot of lads need to have that mental courage to go, yeah, I need to have a chat. And blah, blah, blah. And if you're not interested in doing therapy, fair enough. It's each to their own. But even opening up to your mate down the pub or your family or whatever, because unfortunately, I don't know where it comes from, but we do have this thing in society of, you know, it's almost somehow frowned upon to talk about it, but then it never is, because like the moment you do open up about it, everybody's like, all right, well, how can we help? Yeah, but we somehow manufacture this falseness, this false idea in our head.
Yeah. I think that's good. I mean, like, you know, that's just a simple statement. Do you have enough courage to say you need help?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's kind of like not getting help, it isn't a sign of strength necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, reaching out and, you know, professional people exist. So you can go and have those conversations with someone who isn't also sat with you down the pub and who you don't have to, you know, who, you know, So you can just sort of unburden without, because there's sometimes like, you know, like I certainly something I struggled with in the past was not wanting to tell people what was going on with me, because of I didn't want to damage the image that that person had of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I finally got over that, I was able to deal with it and confront that and process that. But that took, at the time I would not have said it was courage, but actually now, like as I think about it and as I've like been thinking about this episode and preparing for it, that actually that kind of thing there, looking back at it, actually, yeah, I did have to take courage, but it was almost courage at myself rather than at
external. Yeah.
So
I think you speak a lot to a lot of guys there. And obviously this is a podcast for everyone, but I feel like this is a particular problem for guys. And we have this vision we like to present to our peers and our friends and our professional working colleagues. Yeah. This is a vision of me and it's all together and it's not perfect, but it's, you know, I've got it all figured out. And then it's like to mess up that vision and go, actually, if you peel the curtain back, you know, it's definitely not a perfect world. But then it makes you so much more real and relatable when you do that. And then suddenly, once you have the courage to speak up, somebody goes, well, he done it. It's almost like a domino effect, isn't it? Once a person does it, suddenly everybody's talking about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll give you, it's not a tale of courage whatsoever, but it's just speaking of the domino effect. As you know, I love canoeing. For everybody else in the podcast, I did a canoe expedition across Scotland about 4 years ago now. And we were wild camping in Scotland. Like there wasn't a soul about for probably 50 to 80 miles. We were proper in the wilderness of Scotland. Mm-hmm. We parked up on the bank for the night and got our tents out. And I woke up in the morning and there was something in our camp. I could feel it I could hear it breathing, this heavy guttural breathing about 10 meters away. Now, when you're like semi-awake in the middle of the Scottish wilderness and you can hear deep, heavy breathing, which is quite clearly an animal, which you don't know what it is, you're like, I'm going to die. So you're sat there like trying not to move. It's like, is this thing going to eat my tent with me in it? I don't know. And then whatever this animal was, it let out the deepest, most guttural, like growl, squeal. I can't even describe the noise, but when you hear something and it is proper caveman fight or flight, it's like, right, I need to do something now. Either I need to sit here and not move an inch, or I need to get out and go full caveman. I chose to sit perfectly still. I went, I'm too tired. If I die, I die. So about an hour later, after like, you know, not like thankfully not shitting my pants, got out of my hammock, got up, and everybody just went about their business. Like I thought to myself, oh crap, was this a dream? I probably dreamed that, you know. Yeah, it was probably a dream. Somebody would have said something by now. So we're cooking breakfast and we're just, you know, talking about normal things as we do, the weather and that. And we started canoeing, and about 30 minutes later, I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, guys, did anybody else hear that beast in the middle of the camp this morning? And everybody went, you heard it too? I thought it was like that. Every single one of us just stayed in our hammocks and accepted our inevitable deaths at whatever this was. This beast had just come in. You know, it would be like something you'd hear in like an adventure magazine, like 10 people went into the Scottish wilderness and were never seen again. But our expedition leader...
What was it? Did you ever find out what it was?
Oh, we did. So we're canoeing along, and my good friend, and big shout out to John Bo of Wild Way Bushcraft, who's been on the podcast before. Absolutely outstanding gentleman. He started laughing. And all of us, you know, were sat there like, you know, reminiscing over what we perceived to be our near-death experience of some wild Scottish monster. He's laughing away and we're like, what's so funny? He says, do you not know what that was? Well, no. He says, that was a stag. It was a deer. Came into the middle of the camp. But apparently deer's bark. See?
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Stags bark, so I'm told. So for what I perceive to be this like Scottish equivalent of Sasquatch, was actually a stag deer.
And
Yeah. But it starts back to that, you know, once I... Not that it took courage, but I was willing to look a little bit silly and say, did anybody hear, you know, Glaswegian Sasquatch in the middle of the camp this morning? You know, and suddenly the domino effect takes over and you're like, actually, it's like everything though. Once you do speak up about anything that's really important to you, your values, yeah, suddenly you'll find that probably 90% of people are thinking the same thing, but they just don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
But,
I was just going to say that kind of brings into mind another sort of thing that you were saying. It's quite interesting in the darkness, like, you know, and actually there is something about being in a tent that sort of accentuates noises that are outside. Mm-hmm. Because unlike being in a house where you're surrounded by brick and it's solid, you know that it's just this little thin bit of cloth between you and the outside world.
Oh yeah.
It may be rainproof, but that's it. That's the only thing it's keeping out is rain. You know, but actually how that, so like, you know, the group, the, you know, the, he knows, he's been there. He knows what the sound is. But actually, if you'd have opened up your tent and shed light on what was there, then the thing that you were afraid of would have gone. And yeah, sometimes courage is shedding the light on something, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, you know, what, I mean, don't get me wrong, I should imagine it up close, you know, a stag is probably still quite a, you know, it's a big creature, isn't it? You know, they're not small, and if they've got the antlers on, you know, even more so, you know.
Yeah.
They can do you a mischief if they wanted to, but you know, but actually, you know, the courage to go and look would have revealed the truth, you know, and it, yeah, you know, and I think sometimes, especially when we're going back to that mental health stuff, it's the courage to expose what that is to the light.
Oh, that's powerful. I like that.
You know, it's unzipping that tent entrance and letting the light in,
yeah,
to, you know, to get rid of the gremlins that are trying to hide in the shadows.
Yeah.
So I think like your example there sort of works in multi levels, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, you're very good. I always like chatting with you. You're very good at making analogies from whatever story I can provide, even if it is me shitting myself at Glaswegian Sasquatch.
Let's be honest, if it had been some kind of Bigfoot thing, it would have been a much funnier story.
Oh yeah.
just sat in the middle of your camp helping itself to your provisions.
Oh yeah. Yeah, true.
Also, well, Glaswegian Sasquatch would be a great name for a folk band.
Oh yeah, we're going to lose that now. We see in about 2 years' time, we're going to see on Spotify Glaswegian Sasquatch.
I hope so. That would be great.
Oh, grief. I do want to have a quick chat about examples of courage, though, to put meaning to reality, so to speak. I'll let you have a think about what, if you can think of a act of courage that stands out to you. The one that I want to very quickly reference is Ernest Shackleton's doomed Antarctic voyage, where he went down with his crew and they got stuck in the ice pack and they spent 2 years surviving on the ice. You know, human beings are obviously not designed to survive in that kind of environment. And for 2 years, they struggled, they slogged, you know, survived the most horrific conditions and achieved feats of human endurance that by all accounts are not possible. And I'm not going to spoil the story because it's such a good read. It's Endurance by Alfred Lang Syne. And it is the only book I've ever read that has had my stomach doing somersaults, especially at the end. And if you want to see what courage looks like, that's it. It actually speaks exactly to what you said. It's putting kinetic energy into confidence. And right, Ernest Shackleton had the confidence in himself to lead and the confidence in his crew to do their job and to survive. And having that courage to go for 2 years in the most inhospitable place on the planet and to come out the other end, it has to be read to be believed. The fact that if none of them survived, but like somehow people heard about some of the feats that had occurred, they'd have said it physically wouldn't be possible. But I think it was only possible because of the courage these men showed. And it was, now obviously women can be courageous as well. Just at the moment, based on the books I've read and the experiences, that's the one I can think of. There's plenty of tales of, you know, women being courageous as well. But what is there? And another one, we've talked about this before, the courage of the Titanic's engineers to stay behind on a sinking ship, to keep the lights on, to give the passengers enough time to get off, or at least as many as they could. Is there any acts of courage that you can think of?
I'm just thinking, I mean, like what you said there about there being women of courage, I think like about the suffragette movement, you know, of getting...
Yeah, that was at the back of my mind there as well.
Votes for women. I mean, there's been...
There was the Black Witches, wasn't it? The Black Witches, which was a Russian air wing during World War II.
Okay.
You'd like them actually, being a history man. If you look them up, they when Operation Barbarossa, when the Germans were invading Russia, they formed a distinct part of the Air Force. I think they were actually the most successful squadron in the Russian Air Force, you know. I'm surprised a movie hasn't been made about them. But like the tale, and you have to bear in mind as well that it's not like modern airplanes. You know, if you got shot down, you're probably, you know, dead. I think they had parachutes, but they're not, you know, this is 1940s, you know, and you're parachuting into a Russian winter, you're probably not going to make it. So, you know, the amount of bravery it takes to climb into that ladder, as you referenced, into the plane, and to go off and, you know, fight, you know, the literal fascists coming to your door, you know, it's some amount of courage as well. And yeah, man, there's no shortage of courage in both the genders.
Absolutely.
But I have no idea how long we've been chatting for, but I feel it's that time to start talking about the actionable steps.
Agreed.
I want to do something a little different if I'm not putting you on the spot, Nathan, but I always come up with an actionable step first and then you normally piggyback off of it and that. Do you want to lead off with an actionable step that you can think of? And if not, I can come on.
I mean, let's go with an obvious one. And I think it's something that can't be repeated enough or the drum beaten enough. And an actionable step for our listeners is to take courage in assessing their own mental health and reaching out, using that courage then to reach out to get whatever, you know, to get resolution.
Yeah, 100%. I like that. I feel for me, if you're listening to this and you're like 18 or just starting out in early adulthood, I think it's not easy to take courage. I think the world can be a bit overwhelming. And I think an actionable step to take, especially if you're quite a young person, is to really establish who you are, despite what is popular at the time. Because it's easy. It takes courage to stand up for what you believe in, what is right and good and just. But at the time, with your peer group, whoever that may be, it may not be popular. It may not be cool. It may not be what's in popular culture, style, whatever, however you want to put it. The fact that you can stand by yourself on your own values, it's kind of like what Thomas Jefferson said, you know, in matters of style, go with the flow. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. That takes courage. Yeah. So, and I think once you know exactly who you are or what you stand for, it makes a lot more things easier to stand up against and to enact more courage. And I feel like another actionable step to take would be to read more. And what I mean by read more is find the people, fictional or non-fictional, who inspire courage in you that you can relate to. Because for me, that's Ernest Shackleton. If I'm going through a horrible day, I remember back to Shackleton and I think the hell on earth he went through. And not only the fact that not only did he have to worry about his own personal survival, he had like 30 blokes to look after. He had to make sure they survived too. So he had to lead and try and survive at the same time. And the courage that took, I felt, I think to myself, even on my worst day, yeah, but I'm not trapped in the Antarctic trying to save 30 blokes and with death waiting for me every day. You know, life is not so bad. So that's definitely an actionable step. I saw a quote recently somewhere along the lines of, you know, average people have big TVs. The most influential and wealthy people have big libraries. And, you know, I feel this is something that I'm very guilty of. And I was thinking about this the other day, Nathan, and I'm happy to be open and transparent with our listeners. And I've been a hypocrite in that I think at the very start of our podcasting journey, I did say I was going to try and read 2 books a month.
Yep.
Yeah, back in January. Did not achieve that whatsoever, despite my best intentions. But it's something that I'm constantly trying to rectify and to get stuck into. Because the more you read, the more you open yourself up to new characters, new worlds, new modes of thinking. And with my own library, there's no shortage of inspirational people to look to. But the more people I read about, the more unique instances of courage I'll read about. It took unique courage to sail down to the Antarctic and explore and to survive everything that Ernest Shackleton went through. It took immense courage for the suffragettes to stand up and do what they had to do. That was unique courage. I feel like this harks back to what we said in the previous episode. Your confidence is waiting there for you to take it, to grab it. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. Same as courage. I feel like you already are courageous. You just need to realize that and then you can act upon it. I feel like people think that courage is something you have to like order off Amazon. One day it'll magically land in my lap or I'll acquire. It's like, you've already got it. Just realize that and then act upon it. And the next thing, and before you know it, you'll be doing things you never thought possible.
True.
Like me, starting a year of podcasting. You'd have said to me 2 years ago, you're going to be a podcaster. I'd have told you, I'm not nowhere near confident enough to do that consistently, nor do I have the courage to start one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like that sums it up. That sums that up nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. I'm not trying to put minimize your achievement, but it's kind of like, you know, courage isn't necessarily going to Antarctica.
Oh, 100%.
It is starting a podcast. It is applying for a job. It is confronting negative behavior in yourself or in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, courage is, you know, it doesn't have to be Herculean for it to be courageous.
Oh, you know? I like that. Yeah, exactly. And what I was just thinking about with what your actionable step was, you know, having the courage to ask for help. That sort of harps back to the earlier part of our mini series of self-love, unconditional self-love and self-respect. So I like that. I don't know if you did that intentionally, but it does tie back nicely to the first two episodes.
I just thought it only came into my head really based off what you'd said earlier on, and that it's easy to dismiss or brush off or ignore or try and put a brave face on it. And actually, if we're talking about actionable points, let's deal with that head on right now. You know, that's, I didn't, it was a happy coincidence.
Happy days. I feel there's one more actionable step that I want to impart on the audience. And it's go out and take a courageous act. It does not have to be something world-changing, but whatever you're facing in your life at the minute, that you feel like taking this one courageous act would change your whole perception, either about yourself or the world, or, you know, it could be something so, so simple, as we've already mentioned, asking for help or asking someone out on a date or taking up that hobby that you feel like you're going to be naff at and you're going to, people will laugh at you if you attempt, like taking up painting or something, I don't know, but take a courageous act, even if it's a small one, even if it's that final 10% to achieve whatever it is, and then let us know how you get on. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
So it's our three actionable steps. Number one, ask for help if you need it.
Yeah.
Two, read more, or if you're the modern generation, obviously watch more YouTube, whatever, documentaries on people who inspire courage in you. Mm. And part of me, number three, is to take a courageous act yourself. Because it's all very well and good listening here and talking about this, but unless you actually do it, you have that kinetic explosion of confidence in action, you're nothing's going to change.
Sure.
So I have a great conversation, Nathan. I really enjoyed
that. That's good. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Have you anything final you want to say to our audience before we depart?
I think you're all great and thank you for listening.
I second that. Coming off to a year of podcasting, Nathan, can you believe it? We're going to have to do something to celebrate, but I don't know yet.
It's a year ago since we did those ridiculous live stream Twitch things, isn't it?
Bloody hell, you're right.
Yeah,
that's amazing. we'll have to do a celebratory live stream. Would that be a Christmas special or something? I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe so. Yeah, anyway, Nathan, brother, thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
There you go, folks. That was today's episode on courage. If you enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe to the podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review on your preferred streaming service. If you know someone who would benefit from this content, then please do share this episode on your various social media platforms. The Curious Ulsterman is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, all at The Curious Ulsterman. Or you can check out our website at www.thecuriousulsterman.com, where you can find links to our various episodes and series, and also where you can leave us a voice note if you would like to suggest ways for the show to improve, or you just want to get in contact with me, then leave a voice note on the website and I will get back to you as soon as possible. If you tuned in today for the first time, thank you very much. And if you are one of our repeat listeners, thank you so much for your continued support. A big shout out to our repeat listeners in Basingstoke, Hampshire, Exmouth and Devon, Portsmouth, Brighton, Colorado, Portland, Maine, Plymouth, New Hampshire, Dublin, and South Korea. I hope you'll join us for next week's episode, folks. But until then, I wish you all the best. Bye for now.